as a gift. There's something very comforting and seasonal about that man. He's at his best when, in profound moments, when we're all gathered around a real, I mean, there's a reason for us being here today. We are not here out of obligation to go to church. I mean, none of you, I don't think, are here because somebody, well, maybe a couple people, because somebody's making you come. But there might be a few whose arms are a little twisted right now. But the reality is we're not here because of a religion either. We're here because of our love for God. And it's, the love is real. Our love for God is real. It's, I mean, if our nation was under attack from an outside invader today, we'd be here. And, you know, if there's some people that are thinking that this change in the tax plan is going to be a huge blessing to a lot of people in the United States, we're still going to be here. We're not going to not need him anymore. We're not going to stop worshiping Jesus no matter what happens to us. And so I'm delighted to be here with you guys today. And when God wrote his story, this is the way he started it. So the world became human and made his home among us. That's what Wayne was talking about. The Word, God, became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. That's why we're gathered here. This is the story that talks about the birth of Jesus. Part of the story, it's in Matthew chapter 2. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. King Herod, you know the story. He had he was trying to trick the wise men into leading him to Jesus because he wanted to kill Jesus. That was the story. That was their conversation with him was going that direction. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Not when they saw the baby. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Take note of that. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is some men being led by God. These are some men who are on their way on a mission, an assignment from God. I believe that we're on assignment too. I mean, we have a reason for being here. We're not here to go to church. We're not here to attend church or be part of a religion. We're here because we're on assignment from God. First of all, just to let him love us. That's the biggest part of our assignment, is just letting him love us, not refusing his love. And then opening our hearts to let other people know that he's available to them too. And that never stops. That never changes. The assignment's never really very difficult that God gives us, but we make such a big deal out of it. Like it's my assignment. My in capital letters. It's our assignment. We're all in this together. I love this, what it says in Proverbs chapter 23. Burn with unrelenting passion as you worship God in holy awe. Unrelenting passion. Does not sound like a church service. Your future is bright and filled with a living hope that will never fade away. And so here's some thoughts just about following all the way we're led to follow God. And that's, I just want to spend a brief moment talking about that. How God leads us to follow him. How we're led. How are we led? These men, these wise men, were led by God by a star. And so when they saw the star, that was the indication to them that they were being led. They knew that they were being led by God. In the same way in the Old Testament, when God showed up as a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of smoke during the day, they were like excited about that sign because they knew they were being led by God. There was no other way for them to know. That was his presence. For these wise men, the star was his presence. Well, the first thing that about being led by God is that the light of Jesus is a has a wonderfully attractive quality to it. It has a drawing factor to it. It leads us to him and to his beauty. Zechariah, when his son John was born, said this about Jesus at the birth of his son John. I mean, John's life was so connected to Jesus that John's father, Zechariah, knew that Jesus was ultimately going to be the focus of everything. He said, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Who's the morning light from heaven? It's Jesus. He's about to enter this world. He's about to be born to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. That's what Jesus came to do. And then look what it says in John chapter 8. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus is more than a man. He's more than a representation of God. He's light. He has an attractive part to his nature. He draws people to himself. Many of you were drawn to him. It wasn't that you were preached at and you believed. It was that you were drawn to Jesus. There's something about his nature that's attractive, that pulls us towards him. The second thing is, we've been given the Holy Spirit as a gift, and the gift of the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us to that light, the true light, Jesus. Galatians 5 says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. This is written to believers. We're being led by the Spirit. You are being led by the Spirit every day of your life. You're being led by the Spirit because he's a gift to us, and he leads us and guides us. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. The question is this: what or who is guiding you in your life? What's leading you? I don't know if you can read any of these things. Some of them are pretty good. Oh. Why are there male and female bikes? I don't know why they make male and female bikes anymore. I don't even know if they do. There's a lot of questions we have in our life, and a lot of the questions can't be answered really easily. We struggle with the answers to a lot of questions, but the one question that we don't struggle with is God real? And does he have an assignment for you, a plan for your life? Does he have a direction he wants your life to go? Absolutely. He has a design for you. It's like he created you with DNA that has a design, a purpose. It's not aimless. It's not wandering. It's not, you don't have to wonder what it is. But the question is, like, who's guiding you? Who's leading you? Why do you do the things you do? Why do you make the decisions you're making? Is it because of your circumstances? Do you feel led by God when things are going well, but when things aren't going well, I'm missing the mark? I can't figure out what God wants me to do. A lot of people struggle that way. They think when things are going well, it's an indication that their life is, that their relationship with God is close. Some of the most powerful times I've had with God were when times I didn't feel very close to him. You have to trust him even when things aren't going well, even when things fall apart. This is not going to be a Christmas to remember for my family. I mean, Jody's been sick for a week and a half. On Friday, we went and picked up Katie's little boy, Kasem, because he was sick, and Katie and Jake, her mom and dad, are throwing up, and they're just deathly sick. So we brought him to our house, his infected little body, to our house to infect our home. You know, but it's probably going to be a really different Christmas than we've had in a long time, because we have all kinds of expectations of what today and tomorrow are supposed to look like, and none of that's going to happen the way we thought it was. Does that change anything? Does the circumstance change the fact that it's a Christmas holiday with our family? We're going to still be with our family. We're going to still love. We're going to still be like Jesus to the people around us, because that's who we are. Does it change with aspirations? Does it mean if you feel successful, does that mean you're close to God? Does that mean you're being led by God? If you experience adversity, you know, if you feel like everything in the world's coming against you, does that mean that you're not very close to God? And only when there's a clear path in front of you? I think for believers, we get messed up by some of this stuff, because we think that we're only close to God when things are going well. I'll tell you. He's God of the universe who could actually impregnate a woman on earth and put his son in her womb. I mean, he could have just created Jesus, right? But he took the same 9 months that it takes us to create. He's a phenomenal God. He's a phenomenal leader, and he guides well. So, you know, is it just when your friends are getting along with you? Is it just when things are going well? Is fear motivating you? Do you make the decisions you make because you're afraid of screwing up, afraid of making the wrong choice, afraid of what will happen if things don't go well for you? I mean, there's all kinds of reasons for making choices, but God leads us the way that he wants to lead us. He leads us by his Spirit. You know, I thought about this, how I feel like I'm led. And I hope this doesn't shake you too much, but it's not because I go sit in a room and listen for God's voice in the stillness. You know how I feel led by God? You know where I feel led by God? With you. Most of what I receive as far as leading from God comes in relationship with you guys. It's when I'm sitting across the table for you having coffee. It's when I'm worshiping in this room together. It's when we're walking together, doing life together. I hear God through your voice. And half the time I don't even tell you. And I know it's the same for you a lot of times. But I think some of us, we try to mystify this whole thing of having, how do I know what this is what God wants me to do? That's why it's so good to be connected with the body of Christ. Because it's in the context of the body of Christ that we hear his voice and are led by him. A lot of times we need each other to lead and guide us. We need to know what it looks like to be compassionate because we don't feel very compassionate. We need to know what it looks like to see people loving each other because sometimes love is the last thing we want to do. Or trusting God. Or having faith in God. I mean, we pray for people to get well all the time. And sometimes people don't get well. You need each other to go through those times. You're going to be with your families later on today and tomorrow. And they got all kinds of questions about why things are the way they are. Hopefully politics don't become, you know, the foremost of what you're talking about the next couple days, because you'll drown there. But if you get really down to what it means to follow God and to trust him and know that he's leading you the right direction, you're going to have some amazing conversations with people. Don't complicate it for them. Don't tell them they need to go to church, for gosh sakes. Don't tell them they need to go to church. Be the church for them. Just have a conversation with them. You know, talk to them in plain English, not in Christianese. Tell them about why you have the faith you have. Let them know that they're not far from God, but they're really close to him. That it's not going to take a miracle for them to experience God's leading and guiding in their lives. We're supposed to open the door for each other, not close the door and make people push it open. And you're going to have lots of opportunities to do that in the next 48 hours because families are going to be together one of the few times they are together all year long, and they're going to give each other space and give each other time and let each other speak into their lives. Take them up on it. Don't be quiet about your faith. You don't have to be a preaching maniac. Just be yourself. You love God, and you know that he loves you. There's nothing wrong with people knowing that that's why things are going well in your life. And if things are not going well in your life, you still love God. I mean, that's, I think, one of the strongest messages we have to the world around us, that in spite of things not going the way that we plan, we still love him. We still serve him. Starting Tuesday and going through next Sunday, we're going to spend some time listening for God's voice. Calling it Open Doors. What we want to do is we want to hear God's voice about the doors he's opening for us as a people for the next year. I really believe that he's going to reveal some powerful things to us that are going to be guiding us through this next 12 months. 2018 is bound to be an exciting year, eh? Some stuff's going to happen, right? I want to know the doors the Lord's opening for us. There's a church in town that is building a $2.5 million renovation to create a building. And you can sit back and you can criticize them all you want, say that they're putting their money in the wrong place, but they feel like there's an open door. They feel like they're supposed to walk through this door. It's not a time for us to judge them. There are some churches that, some of the churches that we've been a part of in our past are tiny little churches now. There are not many people there. You can judge them. You can wonder what's wrong with them. Or you can say that there's open doors for them too. And they've got the doors that they've got to walk through. You've got personal doors you've got to walk through. Our nation has some doors that are going to open this year. And we need to make sure through prayer that they walk through, that we as a people walk through those doors. There's some powerful things that are going to happen this next year. There's also some doors that are going to close. And we need to be aware of that. We need to ask the Lord to reveal those things to us. So for 6 days, the day after Christmas until the 31st, we're going to hear the Lord by reading the word, praying for revelation, meditating on his goodness, and fasting, the distractions. Just move this stuff out of the way that gets in the way of you hearing God. Unless you're married and your wife is the one or your husband is the one. You can't do that. That's not in the rules. You can't push them away. You can't fast your spouse. But, you know, fast, get rid of the things that just get in the way for 6 days, just for 6 days. And ask the Lord to reveal to you what doors are opening for us. And then on the 31st, we're going to get together and see what we've heard from the Lord. See what he's saying to us. We'll take that information that he gives us, put it into a book, and you can have that for the rest of the year to refer back to it and see if God does what he says he's going to do. I don't think he minds us doing that, holding him to his word. Let's set the worship team back up here. We're going to close today. You didn't think I could do this, did you? I know you. I know you're thinking, there's no way he can do this in 10 minutes. Right? Yeah. So we are going to worship our way out of here. We're just going to do one song together. And the whole point is this. The whole point is this. We need to look for the star of guidance in our lives and be willing to lead, follow where it leads. God's going to lead us this year. He's going to lead you this year. He's going to lead you today and tomorrow while you're with your family. He's going to lead you. Watch for his leading, however he leads you. He may lead you through the word, and you may read the Bible, and it may come to life to you. You may sit in a quiet room, and you may hear his voice, and that's how he may lead you. However he leads you, let him lead you. Follow him. You know what? In the end times, when everything hits the fan, and things are really crazy on the earth, a lot of people are going to walk away from God, and you know why? Because they're going to be offended by the way he leads them. They're going to be offended as leadership. And we need to believe in him, yes. But we also need to trust him that he's leading us and guiding us in a true and right way. And so let's stand together and sing this song. I don't know where we're going with the song, but all I know is that God is leading and guiding us. I want to follow him wherever he wants us to go. So Lord, take us there. Lead us there. Lead us by your Spirit. Lead us by the power of your Spirit. Help us to follow you. And especially in these next 48 hours, we want to be led by you, that our hearts would line up with you and our words would line up with you, Lord. Amen.